This morning we have a scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to follow along. Ephesians chapter 6, reading in verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 5 and reading down through verse number 9. Apostle Paul is writing in Ephesians 6, in verse number 5, we read this. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And this is God's word. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to them to 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, just reading two verses as we continue on in our study together of this letter from the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, reading just verses 1 and 2 for our text this morning. 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 1, the scripture says, "Let as many as bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things." Why should Christians who are employed work hard for their employers? That's the question that we want to answer this morning from this passage of Scripture. But before we get to answer that question, we're going to take a long detour to make sure that we can properly answer it. Why should Christians who are employed work hard for the employers? We're going to get there, but we need to take a detour before we get there. You know, the gospel of Jesus, when it is received and believed, has life-changing implications for each one of us, for every part of our lives. In other words, when you become a Christian, a born-again Christian, every part of your life is subject to change. Change for the glory of God, change for the exaltation of Jesus, and change for our everlasting joy. Every part, and I do mean every part, including the most difficult and sensitive of relationships. That's what Paul is demonstrating here in these first two verses of 1 Timothy 6, because he talks about the relationship between a Christian slave or bondservant and that they would have with their master. Bondservant in verse 1 is a reference to a slave. And there are weighty matters at how a bondservant or a servant relates to his master in these verses. In verse 1, you have this obedience and honoring of a master by a bondservant attached to the very name of God, whether or not it was going to be blasphemed. You have the doctrine of God or the teaching of God in verse number 1 at stake, depending on how someone would relate to the one who was over them. God's reputation was at stake in how a person acted if they were a bondservant or a slave. Now, ultimately this morning, I want to draw your attention to these weighty matters and to show how your work as a Christian can bring about a greater reputation for God's fame and name and greater glory for God's teaching and a greater witness for God's people in the church. That's where we want to go. But before we do that, we need to grapple with two important questions that derive from this passage of Scripture. And now these two questions don't relate directly to what the Scripture is trying to teach here, but if you can't answer them, you will not be able to rightly apply this passage of Scripture. And in fact, for many today, texts like this are stumbling blocks in their Christian faith. And the two questions are this: why or what does Paul have in mind when he speaks of slaves or bondservants? What does he mean by that? And the second question is, why doesn't Paul condemn slavery? Those questions are actually foundational to understanding this text and applying it to our lives. And we need to answer those questions before we can properly see its application. So we want to get here to see why our work matters for God. And we're not going to go a straight line there today. We're going to take a long detour around in order for us to get there. Now, the question about slavery and the Bible's seeming refusal to condemn it is one that has and is causing a great deal of confusion and consternation in our society today. And specifically, there are many unbelievers who are condemning Christianity as a movement that encourages and approves of slavery. And this has two effects that are quite damaging. On the one hand, is that unbelievers are being convinced that Christianity is morally reprehensible and wrong. There are people who believe that because of what the scripture says about slavery here in texts like this one. The second damaging effect is that there are believers who have their faith shaken by these accusations. So as unbelievers attack Christianity by means of the use of the issue of slavery in the Bible, there are people who are doubting the scriptures. And it's possible, even in a room this size, that we have people who have doubts about the scripture and what it teaches just because of texts like this one. Recently, I listened to an author named Sam Harris speak on this very issue and use this very text of scripture to attack Christianity. In a lecture that he gave, he speaks of slavery, and after quoting 1 Timothy 6, he says, quote, "The creator of the universe clearly expects us to keep slaves. Jesus clearly expects us to keep slaves. So if we think this book," speaking of the Bible, "if we think this book is written by the creator of the universe, or if we think this book is somehow, even if written by men, unsurpassed or unsurpassable in moral terms, we should own other human beings and make them work for us." Now, he wasn't believing that. What he was saying is, that's what he thinks Christianity teaches. That it makes demands and expects that we would actually own other Christians. And he was using that to attack Christianity. The Bible, he says, demands for us to expect to own slaves. And you might think, if you're a Christian, that's ridiculous. Who would actually think that that's what Christians teach? Well, I'll just tell you that if you go take an ethics class in many universities today, the majority of them will tell young people that this is what Christianity has espoused and taught. And it's causing confusion among Christians, especially Christian young people, and many in our society, unbelievers who believe that Christianity